Welcome. Thank you for joining us here at ICGC Kairos Temple Podcast. Pastor Prince Nyako is the head pastor of ICGC Kairos Temple, serving under the leadership of Dr. Mensah Otabo. Pastor Prince is a dynamic preacher of God's unadulterated word, characterized with a strong prophetic insight and prayer ministry. He is a strong advocate for discipline and order in the body of Christ, with messages centered on fasting, holiness, prayer, and integrity. And now, to today's message.
The principal cause of impatience is lack of peace. Lack of peace. Maybe that is why I said last week that probably that is why patience came after peace, when God was mentioning the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. So you see that when... So he said, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. The proof of the Holy Spirit in us is that we will see this fruit. It starts from love, joy, peace, patience. So when a man does not have peace, he will not be patient in life. Because when you don't have peace in your heart, you are not sure what life has for you. But when you have peace, you know within yourself that by all means, at the end of the story, you will have something to celebrate on. I want to jump straight into the how to build patience. I think tonight we just have to dwell there. I don't want to go over what I have taught last week. So we go straight to the four pointers in building your patience. I realize that patience is so much needed. Patience is so much needed. I jokingly was talking to a lady who was very desperate to marry, and she got married. So one day she was around, and I was talking to another lady, and the lady said, don't let anybody pressure you to marry. You see, too many of us are not settled with God. So we allow impatience. We allow people to push us to do things that are not supposed to be. And what guarantees their push is your impatience. So this message, if I were you, I would really drink very deep into it. So let's go. So I'm going to talk about four ways to build your patience. I'm not sure I can do the four. I'm likely to do one or two. So the first way to develop patience, number one, develop a new perspective to life as a Christian. Develop a new perspective to life as a Christian. Yeah, if you have to build patience, you have to begin to develop a new perspective about life. How you look at life is very important. Find a new way of looking at the things that happens to you. I'm coming. You understand what I'm saying. Have a new modular operandi. Have a new way of seeing things in your life. Because the way you see things in your life is going to determine how you react. Please, are you here? So, have a different perception or perspective. The lens you look through in life gives you the image you will perceive. So, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that when you are a selfish person, you will be an impatient person. Begin to see things differently. Begin to see situations differently. Begin to see people differently. Begin to analyze issues differently. When things happen, step out of yourself and look at it in another way. So the disciples will try to protect Jesus. When children were coming to Jesus, the disciples were driving them away. But they didn't have the mindset of Christ. If they had thought like Christ, they wouldn't have driven the children away. Because Jesus said that, don't stop them. Let them come to me. So if the disciples had thought like Jesus, they would have allowed the children to come. Are you here? So in life, if you want to build patience, a patient life, you see, whatever you receive in impatience is never worth celebrating. At the long run, you will regret it. And it becomes a thorn in the flesh. Abraham was impatient. He went for Hagar and brought in Ishmael, and then the mess began. Whatever you receive, whatever kind of thing you call a blessing that you receive, whatever you call a blessing that you receive in an impatient mode, it ends up being a curse at the end of the day. So if you want to develop patience, you have to begin to look at things differently from how you would have looked at it. Patience begins by changing the way you view things. When a man is impatient, he is limited in his perspective. He remains in his own understanding. He remains in his own expectations. But if I have to be patient, I have to look at the thing the way others looked at it. Why did the person do what he did? Or I have to look at it the way God is looking at it. The way the word of God is looking at it. And that takes a lot of maturity. We have all blown situations out of order when we were impatient. And later we regretted our actions. It is very important for us to build, and it's the fruit of the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is in us, we have to grow in the strength of patience. Sometimes people are near their breakthroughs, and impatient action just cancels the whole process, and they have to begin the process again. All I see in an impatient man is himself, his vision, his desires, his goals, his wants, his needs, and how people feel, he doesn't care. But if you have to build a patient life, you have to learn to have a different view. Your world view must change. We must begin to see the thing the way God will look at it. The root cause of impatience is lack of peace. Why? Because you are too selfish. So if the thing does not go your way, that's why I said you have to start looking at the thing at a different angle. So you crucify Asamoah for, we crucify him for spoiling that penalty. If you were in his shoes, are you sure you could have scored a goal? So when we begin to look at the thing in different ways, we will ask ourselves, why did the guy do what he did? What was he thinking? What was he thinking? That is why the Bible says, be slow to speak. Don't be quick to judge. Because a quickness to judge establishes an impatient life. I'm coming. You understand this? The point one is very elaborate. It's big. So that's why I said I may do only point one. If we can be patient, look at what impatience cost Moses. It cost him the promised land. He has journeyed. And this was a man. Yesterday I was listening to Professor Akodie and was throwing light on the extent to which God prepares his people. So Israel were to be in captivity for 400 years. But they were there for 430 years. Now, how many years did Moses spend in the wilderness? 40 years. So 430 minus 40 is what? 390. So when it was 400 years, why didn't God go and deliver the Israelites? Because the vessel to go and deliver was not ready. It was not time. The preparation was not over. The duration of the training was 40 years. And until it was 40 years, Moses could not come. So after these 40 years, all this training managed to move all these people from Egypt, entered the wilderness. The time was come for them to enter the promised land. And then Moses, out of impatience, you may be so close to a miracle. You may be so close to a long-awaited testimony. This was scripturally written by Moses. Impatience. Impatience. Impatience gave him another choice. In choosing whether to speak to the rock or striking the rock, impatience made him strike the rock. Impatience will let you forget or disobey the instructions of God. Are you here with me? We need to start looking at things in different perspectives. So as a member, as a church member, or as a church worker, you, or as a follower, if you follow a leader, you must begin to think about, why did the leader take this decision? Because if you're a follower and you use your follower mentality to understand what is happening, some of us think that running a country is easy. Do you know what it means to be a president in a political setup? It's no joke. It is no joke. Even being a pastor is no joke. Because the people around you can be deceiving you and you will not know. So being a leader, so if you are a follower and you fail to develop the leader's mentality, you will be a critic of a leader. All you will do is criticize him. Because you are not looking at it in the eye of leadership. The same way if you are a wife, you may never understand your husband until you decide to look at it the way he is looking at it. Vice versa. Impatience can die. You see, the fruit of the Spirit is not impatient. It's patient. It means that it's possible for the Christian to develop a very strong, patient life, waiting until the Lord shows up. Waiting until, look at Hannah. Hannah was patient. Abraham was not. He's a father of faith, but he needed the child desperately. There are Christians in church, out of impatience, instead of waiting to have their own children, they go to rivers and they go and get river babies. The child grows and then has so many complications. They go for charm. We are so impatient that we are giving God deputies. You have a stone in your pocket. You have some bee somewhere. You have some pot somewhere. You send money for your uncles to consult deities in your hometown. Impatience because you want it fast and now. And at the end of the day, the whole thing is complicated. Patience is a strong blessing. If you see a man who is patient, he's blessed. If you see a woman who is patient, is blessed. And all of us sitting here, some way, somehow, listening to me online, you have taken decisions out of impatience and you wish you can roll back the clock. And this is why God is teaching us this evening how to build a patient life. Amen. We need to see things from others' point of view and God's plans and God's purposes. Look at Job. Job had to patiently accept that God is doing something, so you let me take my time. Yeah. God is doing something, so let me take my time. And though he slays me, yet will I praise him. If you have this mentality, the devil can never deceive you. If you want to succeed in life, learn to see life from other people's perspective. Sometimes people hurt people and they don't even know that they've hurt people because they don't put them. I said, if you are selfish, you'll be very impatient. All you are thinking about is your dream, my this. And that is a problem with African politicians and some big men. All we think about is what will go well for me. Whatever happens, I don't care. Are you here? If you want to be a successful husband, learn to live a life looking at your wife's worldview. Looking at your wife's worldview. If you want to be a successful wife, learn to live with your husband, understanding his worldview. Because we all didn't grow in the same environment, with the same opportunities and the same atmosphere. But yet we have come together. How do we synergize? If I refuse to understand and see the way you look at it, maybe your wife's house, when they cook, they eat in the hall. They sit on the floor and they just eat. Your house, they lay the dining table. There's a tablecloth. The food is in a bigger bowl. Rice, soup, stew, this. They put the cutlery. There's dessert, there's fruits. And we all sit, and daddy is at the head table and say, let's pray. But Jale, where you are coming from? Even in the kitchen, you know, they serve you, you are eating. Somebody must look at it in somebody's eyes. Please, are you here? If you have to build a patient life, you just have to learn to look at things the way others look at it and understand it before you act. Now, if you can reduce a lot of conflict, unnecessary conflict in your life, you can make good progress in life. And conflicts are usually born out of impatience. I have experienced it severally, so I know what exactly I'm teaching. If you can avoid unnecessary battles. Now, I told you on Sunday that David had two battles. He was not supposed to even go and fight. He was just sending food to the brothers and the captain of the Israel army. And when he went, he was confronted with two battles. One battle was between his brothers, he and his brothers. And then the other battle was Goliath. The unnecessary battle approached him first. And the main battle was second. Sometimes, most of your time and your energy, because you are impatient to diagnose what battle will bring me trophy. When you are in a battle, wasting your time, your energy, your resources, whatever you have, you are putting it to fight your brothers. At the end of the day, if you fought your brothers, if he had fought his brothers, argued with them, won the argument, he wouldn't have gotten any. He turned away from them and face the real battle. Listen, I pray that you will choose your battles. I pray that you will choose your conflict. Any conflict, any battle that will not bring you trophy, that will not bring any reward, you have the right to walk out of it. Yes. Don't waste your energy. Don't have the patience to diagnose what battle I found myself in. I have learned it very early in life. That there are people's battles they are fighting. They invite you to join. And you end up wasting all your resources. At the end of the day, they remain ungrateful to you. And you got nothing. Every battle in your life as a Christian must bring a crown. So battles that will waste your time, walk out of it. Reject it. Reject such offers. So David told them, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? This one will bring me a wife. This one will bring our family will be tax-free. And the kingdom of the king will be divided into two. And I'll have one. That was the battle he chose. I pray that you choose your battles wisely. There are some people walking in this world, they just want to waste your time. So be careful. Be careful of the battles you fight. Fight battles that after the battle, you'll be great. And may that wisdom and anointing come upon you in Jesus' name. Now, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11. I pray we grow patient. Look, Moses had to stay in Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. You have to be patient. And because any time Moses acted in impatience, he destroyed something precious. Look at, he came down, he saw the people worshiping the golden calves. And what did he do? The Ten Commandments that God used his handwriting to write. He threw it down. How could you? And all these examples with Moses is telling you something that no matter how great and anointed you are, you can live a life of impatience and it will cost you at different significant junctions of your life. Now, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11 says, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. It is a strength to see something that is unnecessary and walk over. Give me the BBE quickly. He said, a man's good sense makes him slow to wrath. Yes. If you are sensible, you will walk out of situations that should make you angry unnecessarily. And he said, and the overlooking of wrongdoing is his glory. That is the strength I pray that we will all grow into. The strength to overlook. Because God needed Moses. So if God had gotten it, like after breaking the Ten Commandments, God said, hey, walk away. I don't need you again. Who will raise Joshua to carry them to the proper promised land? But by the time God was doing away with Moses, there was a Joshua who was ready. I pray that you grow in patience. Because impatience can let you lose your connections with people. Somebody may be with you today. He may not be behaving well. Or she may not be behaving well. She may not be profitable to you like John Mark. That John Mark that brought fight between Paul and Barnabas. But later on in Paul's life in ministry, he needed John Mark. He requested John Mark to come. Because there are people in your life today, you may not see their use, but time grows people. Time matures people. Time defines people. Time changes people. Time opens doors for people. So today, the stone you are rejecting, maybe tomorrow it shall become the chief cornerstone. That is why we must be very, very patient when we are dealing with human beings. Notice the word. Now, give me the NLT version. I wish somebody had a GNT to read for me. One of them uses wisdom. It says sensible people control their temper. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs. Wow. I like that one. Sensible people control their temper. God help us all. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs. Now, the word sensible is actually wisdom. Yes, I'm coming. Wisdom is seeing life from God's perspective. That is wisdom. Wisdom is seeing life from what God has said. Because you know that the word cannot fail. So anybody that plants himself in what God has said, he has secured his success. So wisdom is to see the situation in the eye of God. You are Job. The wind blows, you lose your businesses, you lose your children, you lose your health, you lose your finances. What are you supposed to do? Difficult. You have to look at it in God's eyes, and that is wisdom. The challenge, look at it in God's eyes. Wisdom is getting God's perspective on a situation, because God's perspective will not fail. It is the only thing that will stand and become a victorious story. So sensible people, they control their temper. A sensible husband will control his temper. A sensible wife will control his temper. Wisdom will help you to see three things. When you begin to look at things in the eye of wisdom, three things will come up. We are still on point one. When you start looking at things in the eye of wisdom, three things will come up. Number one, you will realize that you are only a human being. You realize that you are a human. You are human. When you start looking at things in the perspective of wisdom, you realize that, you are a human being. And what happens to humans can happen to you. What mistakes humans do, you can also make the same mistake. So the mistake that so and so has done, you are not far from it. There's a proverb in Akan. It says, well, if you see that your brother's beard is burning, what do you do? Get a cloth, wet it, and you to position it, because it's possible. So when you start looking at things in the eye of wisdom, you realize that you are also a human being. So you discover that you must help others, because one day you will be in a situation that you need help. You will see that you are only a human being and you are not God. Wisdom tells you that you are not God. You are a human being. Wisdom tells you that you are not a deity. You are a human being. You are flesh and blood. You are flesh and blood. So Jesus was preaching. Multitudes were following him. And then it got to a point, they were hungry and they were tired. The disciples were impatient. Oh, Jesus should just drive them. They should go. Jesus said, no. Let them sit down. He identified that they are human beings. They'll be hungry by now. So let them sit down. Let's feed them. The people were so impatient. And they were like, where are we going to get food for all these people? They were impatient. If they were patient, they would have remembered who has said that we have to feed these people. It was not an ordinary man saying, let's feed them. If they have been patient, all the miracles they have seen. Jesus had turned water into wine. He has healed the sick. He has opened the... So if this man is saying that let the people sit down, let's feed them, how do you ask him that question? They were not thinking. They were not thinking. They didn't come to the point to know that they were also humans. But Jesus knew. Jesus knew that they are human beings following, not spirits. That's why as a pastor, you must know that people are following you. It's human beings that are in the church. They deserve a good toiletry. They deserve a good children's service. They deserve a good atmosphere. There must be air conditioning. There must be security. Human beings. You have to make people comfortable, because one day it can happen to you. That's why you don't use somebody's sickness to laugh at him. Because you can also fall sick. You realize that you are a human being. You are a human being. If you are not tall, you are short. If you are not light-skinned, you are dark. If you are not intelligent, you are dumb. If you are not poor, you are rich. You can't get everything 100%. So every one of us here, if you start looking at things, when things happen, and you look at it in the wisdom eye, you realize that you are a human being. And that you are not perfect, and you are not in control of a lot of things that happen in your life. You are not in control. Like, you are not in control of what happens in the next 1 hour. In the next 1 hour, you can hear that your mother is dead. In the next 1 hour, you can get a call that the application you did to the UN, it has come. Start job. That interview you went. So we don't control the next second. We realize that we don't. We can it can be that tomorrow we wake up and they'll say nobody should go out because there's war. We don't control any. As we are here, we are all praying for election 2024 that there should be peace. But we don't control it. Are you here with me? As you are here, you can take supper this evening and it can mess your stomach up. So you plan to go to work tomorrow at 7 a.m. But maybe what you eat tonight is going to mess your stomach up. You may have to call your boss that, oh, I am not well. I have to go to the hospital. So when you look at things in the wisdom way as a boss and your worker is late, saying that the child was sick and he has to rush the person to the hospital, if you look at it in the human eye, you will see that you're also a human being. It's possible. But maybe some of the workers, they like excuses too much. And they say, Echina say, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in all things being what? Equal. Number two, when you look at things in the wisdom eye, you realize that no one else is perfect except God. Not even the most anointed person. And most of the times, the most anointed persons are the most imperfect people. So not even the most anointed people are perfect. You realize that you are not perfect. Then you realize that you have to be patient. Unless you don't want to grow being a patient child of God. But if you want to grow being a patient child of God, you have to understand that you are not perfect. Only God is perfect. Number three, when you start looking in the eye of wisdom, this is what will happen. God is the only one who is in control. You are a human being. You are not perfect. You realize that God is the only one who is in control. And when you come to that knowing that God is in control, you will settle. Yeah, you will settle. That no matter what the enemy does, God is in control. And sometimes this is where you will love the Muslim for that. No matter who dies around them. And you try to say, oh, I dreamt. And you say, oh, no. If Allah permitted it, that's it. They don't pray to bring back the dead. They are okay. If the person, somebody had an accident with, or his car hit a Muslim on the motorway. I'm privy to it, so I know the story very well. And he didn't cause the problem, but it was the lady, the Muslim lady that jumped into the road, like crossed the road without watching, and hit him. The windscreen crashed. The car was some way. The person should have died, but fortunately, she just crashed some part and a motor rider picked her, and then they went to the hospital. This guy too followed up. And when he got there, they treated, and then the father of the woman, of the child, of the girl came, also a Muslim. When he came, so this guy approached him and said, he pleaded, begged him and said, they will handle the drugs, they will go to the police station. He said, no. I don't need your money. So far as God spared him, her, that is it. So far as God spared her, you don't have any, you don't need any money, we don't need your money. You have to get to a point and get to understand that God is in control of your life. Period. And when you come to that point, you'll be like Job, though he slays me, you will not be in a hurry to come out of a bad situation. Because it's like the refiner's fire. I was studying 1 Peter. So let's go. Today I studied the whole thing. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Let me read something for you. Give me a soft version. I tried not to become impatient when it comes to working with you. 1 Peter chapter 1. Just give me 1 Peter chapter 1. Soft version, please. NLT, preferably. This letter is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the provinces of Pontus. Listen, when you are in a group of people, amongst a group of people, and you realize they are in a hurry to achieve things, to gain things, to become famous, walk out. Break that link. Yeah. When you know God is in control and God controls your life, don't be in a haste. It is said that the nurse that was handling Mephibosheth was in a hurry when the battle was going on and the baby fell off the hand and the child became crippled. Visions can become crippled when you are in haste. Haste will waste you. So, go to the verse 2. There's something there about the gold. Just keep going. I'm reading. So, God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and His Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed Him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. Verse 3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation. Verse 4. And we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you. Hallelujah. Pure and undefiled beyond the reach of change or decay. Verse 5. And through your faith, God is protecting you by His power. The old King James says, kept by the power of God through faith. She said, and through your faith, God is protecting you by His power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day. So you see this verse. Open your eyes and look at it well. Should I read it again? Let's read it together. One, two, go. And through your faith, God is protecting you by His power until you receive. Ima, what do you see? Does it challenge something that you know? Does it challenge eternal security? But you see, when you meet verses like this, you must not conclude on anything until you study it back to back. But it raises a question there. That means it seems to say that there's a final salvation. And it says that which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. Now, go to the verses. That's not even what I want to talk about. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. You must endure many trials for a little while. You must endure. He said, now, thank you for pushing me there. Look at the scriptures well. That's why I told you that. You must be careful who surrounds you. People like pushing you into things that is unnecessary. Look at it. May you grow in patience. I thought you say amen. grow being patient. Even when those of you are not married, even when it comes to marriage, be patient. Because you can make the biggest mistake of your life. Be patient. And you see, patience is not laziness. Patience is not fear. Patience is not, when you say yes, why you slow? No. Patience is not that. He said, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. Yes. As for trials, they will come. They must come. We must suffer. The sufferings of Christ must be found within our perimeters. And we must endure them. We must suffer with Christ. Yes. We must go through the things that he went through. It's normal. But in the midst of all that, God is doing, he said, it is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. As fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials. A faith from Christ will endure the trial. If you receive the faith and you stand in the faith, it will. I pray that when you are going through the fires of your life, your faith will not break down. Yeah. Say your faith remains strong through many trials. It will bring forth much praise and glory and honor. Adavazaya. You won't pray for it again. It will come. That is why people are living a life of honor without prayer. And people are praying for honor and it's not coming. Because honor is the end product of a trial. You don't just... It's not everybody that is voted for that honor comes on. No. He said, after your faith has been tried through many trials, and nobody knows the many trials that will come to him. These are strong words. It will bring you much, much praise. Congratulations, Lord. I declare this year though I'll be congratulated. That prayer will have to wait until you pass the test. Any praise you receive without the test will not last. He said, you receive much praise, much glory, much honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So patience is seen when we see things in others' perspective. In the perspective of God, his purpose, and his will. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24. I think I'll end with just the one. Proverbs 20, 24. I won't go to point two at all. Madosha grandi bahadosha. He said, the Lord directs our steps, so why try to understand everything along the way? The Lord directs your steps. So why are you trying to figure out everything? Why are you trying to, like, things will mess up, but God is around. Why are you trying to read meaning to everything and trying to figure out? You cannot. You are not in control. You are not. If you were in control, we wouldn't need the Holy Spirit. Please, you understand? Like, okay. I have the keys to my car. I don't need anybody to come and open the car for me when I have the key. I'm in control. I determine when I park it. I determine when I spark it. But life, you have no control over the life. That is why the Holy Spirit was given to us. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he shall. Yeah, if you know where to go, God wouldn't have given us the Holy Spirit. We don't know where to go. Even prayer. The Bible said that we don't even know the prayer topics to pray on. The prayer topics that we have to pray, we don't even know. It is the Spirit that will show us which topic to pray at what time. So we don't even, like a church, we don't even know that we are saying, oh, after 3-5 years, we should have finished this whole project. It can be next year. It can be next year. It can be 6 months' time. Maybe it can be 10 years' time for a reason only God knows. Why would he could have taken them to the promised land in 4 days. He says, no, it should be 40 years. Why are you trying to figure out everything by yourself? And trying to work out, hey, if I don't marry this time, if I don't give birth this time, if I don't have this time, why are you figuring out yourself? Did you create yourself? Do you own yourself? Do you run your own life? No! Lord, not my will, but your will. If I have to wait, I'll wait. If I have to look like a fool, I'll be a fool. We are fools for Christ. We are slaves for Christ. He said, give me the BBE. Look at life in a different perspective. It will help you to be patient. It will help you to be patient. He said, a man's steps are of the law. How then may a man have knowledge of his own way? It's only with the Lord. It's only with the Lord. What will become of you is only with the Lord. It's not with you. Be patient. Let us be patient. African country, our citizens are just traveling. Shim, shab, shim, shab. Sometimes people are with a job, and these are tongue-talking believers. You are with a job. It's okay. But maybe you want a better one, so you got a better one. Instead of asking the Lord that, oh, I'm changing the job. God, are you involved? You ask. We step in, and we realize that, it's not the place God wanted us to be. Sometimes you must be in a company that pays you less for a long time to learn something. To learn something. I pray that people will not be so, you will not be so close to your blessing that you quit and go and start something that will not lead you to that blessing. Don't labor in vain. Impatience will make you labor in vain. Excuse me to say, Moses labored in vain. He got to the point where he should have entered the promised land in patience. Bah! That was it. I pray that you grow in patience. You will develop. Look at things in different perspective. The other time I was talking to someone, and I was asking him, like, it's the choristers. His choristers. How many times they come for rehearsals? He said, oh, they come weekday, they come weekend. And I said, oh, those days, my choir used to do that. They even meet sometimes 3 times and all that. But now it has changed a bit. Then I asked him, does he know how much an Uber trip costs? So assuming I'm a chorister and I earn 1,000, 2,000, 5,000, or 2,000. So when you are coming to church, how much is an Uber? Average. Ima? 20. 25, 20. So in and out, 50. Some take how much? Please let me know how much you spend. Abigail. 20, Ima, so 20, so in and out. So 20 in and out, that's 50, like 25, 50. So if I come 3 times, that's 150. Times 4, that's how much? 600 to church. This is apart from Sunday. So plus another 4. Okay, let's say, so in a month, you are going to have, okay, let me calculate it well. I am teaching. It's a teaching service. So 50 times 3, that's 150, times 4, that's 600. Then the Sundays are also four. So 50 times four, that's 200. So 800 Ghana on Uber. My offering has not come. My tithe has not come. My transportation to work every day hasn't come. So if I am an MD now, those days the economy was a bit better. So it wasn't as costly as now. And it doesn't mean if they do the election and MPP remains or NDC comes, it's going to change drastically. Maybe it's going forever, oh Lord, we are going forward. Now, I'm not able to come for rehearsals. The leader must look at it in the eye of the people in order to be patient to address the issue. So let's say last Sunday, John was not in church. He does a lot of estate work around in the church during service. He was not there. So I was there. I said, so when I came early, I did this. I said, maybe probably because it's unusual for John not to be around. So today I called. When I called, I said, where were you on Sunday? So I was at Krobo, Dumasi for an emergency. I said, okay. So when you look, I look at, okay, that is how his work is. It took him, so okay. You have to learn, as a wife, you have to look at it in your husband's eye. And if you're a husband, you have to look at things in your wife's eye. Why did the person do what he did? You have to look at it from there before you judge. If you have to be patient, that is watching and looking in the eye of wisdom. You are not looking at it to conform to the mistake. No. You are looking at it so that you, when you are addressing, you will address it as a sensible man. Go to that scripture. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11. The soft version. I have 5 minutes. Tomorrow will be here, so I don't want to take much of your time. It's early 6 a.m. Prayer starts. The NLT. Sensible people control their temper. When I saw the scripture, I was like, hey, everything is in the Bible. Sensible people, straight up, control their temper. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs. This scripture will make you patient. Now, take me back to Proverbs 20:24. I am wrapping up. I told you I would do only one. Proverbs 20:24. Silvanus. The Lord directs our steps, so why try to understand everything? How would you understand everything? It's not possible. Because the understanding, God's understanding is above our understanding. His ways are far above our ways. His understanding, the Bible said what? It is what? Unsearchable. So if God is directing our lives, why would God allow Daniel to rebel against the instructions of the king? That don't pray and led him to open the windows and Shabaya, Ikabalo, Daya, Kabaya, Labrada. And then they took him to the lions then. After that, there was a decree. The same thing to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. After that, there was a decree by the same king that nobody worships any other God except the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I pray that your next surname will be called Patience. This means God can intentionally delay you and interrupt you. Yeah, there are some delay you pray, God won't mind you. Because he got to delay the Israelites and take the garlic and ginger mindset from them. And take the slave. Their minds were full of, I'm a slave. And they were earning peanuts. And they had not fought any battle before. God had to keep them in the wilderness for 40 years. And rebrand their mind. So whilst they were there, they would think that the promised land is being wasted. Why are we not going? But God was using the wilderness to rewire them. And there are things you are going through. It may look like a delay. Be there. Remain there because you are being wired. You are being rewired. We have to be rewired before we make the move to the next step. As we move to the next step, and the things we should have learned there, we left it. And in the next step, we will look vulnerable. I pray this message is blessing you. God can sometimes put irritating people in your life. Annoying people, wicked people, careless people, ungrateful people, unappreciative people, betrayers. God needed Judas to work. Judas must work for Jesus to die. Judas was part of God's plan. Yes. Jesus had to be betrayed. Who? Peter. Peter can't be. Peter, Thomas, no. Only Judas. Betrayers in your life are planned. God allows it for a purpose. Ungrateful people in your life were permitted. If God did not permit Satan, Satan couldn't have touched Job. See things like that as a Christian. If you know you're a Christian, see things like that. You'll be fine. Else people will deceive you. Let's go here. They say, let's go here. Ah! You go to all the prophetic churches in this country, and your case will become worse and worse because you are impatient. We are coming to pray here tomorrow for 6 hours. Some people will not value it. They will go to another place where they are doing prophetic ministry. I love the prophetic. Tomorrow we will move in the prophetic. But if you are impatient, you will take... I had a vision yesterday. It was a dream, actually. A man asked me, he met me, a pastor. I know him. He met me and said, I should come and anoint his church for him. I said, hey. So when we went to the church, when I started anointing the auditorium, the pastor ran away. And the auditorium changed. It became dirty. The church became small. I know the church. I don't understand the dream. So I'm thinking. You see, if you are not patient, people may clap for you, but their clapping is actually leading you to destruction. Be patient. Be very, very, very patient. Be patient. It will bless your life if you meet a patient man. That's a matured man. And many Christians, especially charismatics, because we are a faith movement, sometimes we think that patience is not faith. That patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Every strong man in faith is a strong man in patience. I thought that last week. I won't hit that button. If you are not here, go and listen to the part one. Magadaba Shakataya. God can sometimes put trouble your way because he wants you to get a new perspective about life. Yes. A new perspective. Sometimes you see some dirty girl be a warrior, no, and you say, holy dandao girl. No pregnancy. And everybody will be asking, what is wrong? And then why you be here now? So why you be here? Corner call Daniel. Now wait there. No. Why should Hannah be barren for 7 years? Sarah? We should not. That is why I said selfishness will make you very judgmental. May God help us all. Your amen is not strong. Look at life from God's point of view. God's point of view Judas, a thief, was a treasurer to Jesus. Who are you to criticize Jesus for appointing a thief as a treasurer? Peter denied Jesus 3 times before a small girl, and Jesus still kept him as the head of the church. There are dimensions of God. No human being, no matter how anointed, can break it down. May we begin to see things the way, and see things the way others see it. It will help you to be patient. God, write this down. Write this down. I wrote it down. I want you to write it. God equates patience to maturity. Proverbs 14:29. God equates patience to maturity. Proverbs 14:29. Soft version. People with understanding control their anger. A hot temper shows great foolishness. Please just look at the scripture. Don't do like you have not seen the scripture. He said, people with understanding control their anger. A hot temper shows great foolishness. BBE. Oh, I'm blessed with the teaching. Zagada bias. He who is slow to be angry has great good sense. But he whose spirit is over quick gives support to what is foolish. Give me an amplified version. Momo, munche me 5 minutes now me landed. He who is slow to anger has great understanding and profits from his self-control. But he who is quick-tempered exposes and exalts his foolishness for all to see. May the Lord deliver us all from this. Patience is a mark of maturity. Patience. Most, you know, that's why most children are impatient. Which of the sons of the rich man left the house? That prodigal son. He was the youngest. Immaturity is portrayed in your impatience. If you are impatient, you are immature. Yeah. At that point, the man seemed to have made sense. That give me the portion, my portion in your inheritance. $13.5 million was given to him. He had the money, but he went to blow it because he was immature, impatient. When he went and came, yes, he was back to the father's house. He was restored as a son. But the father told the elder son, don't be jealous. Everything I have is yours. Be careful that you don't lose that which belongs to you because of impatience. He just stepped out of the house and exposed himself. Premature. Took 13 points. He just blew it with friends. Initially, he thought he was doing something well. But at the end of the day, he came to nothing. Oh, Jesus, what a teaching. When babies don't get what they want immediately, they get upset. Are you like that? One time when I finished school, I went doing miracle service for a friend. I was helping him. Then I was not sitting in church. I don't come to church on Sunday. Daddy was not seeing me because Charlie, the fire was burning. So I would go there, go and pray, lead prayer, lay hands, go and pray somewhere. Then Daddy asked my mom, where is your son? Where is Prince? So he's doing church. He's doing... No. Tell him to come and sit down. Tell him to come and sit down and stop everything and sit down. He didn't say, come and sit down. Tell him to come and sit down. I'll make him a pastor. No, says, just come and sit down. The day I was told, the next day I came to sit down. Till now. Impatience. If I was here, the anointing of God is what I'm doing. No. I came to sit down. I came to do what? Sit down. And today I'm not sitting down. I'm standing. Are you here with me? Maturity is to wait and live with delayed gratification until God shows up, until God directs, until it is time. You will grow your patience if you will start seeing life in God's point of view and the point of view of others. Don't make a mistake. God, not every mistake is correctable. Not every mistake is correctable. Did you hear that? Not every mistake. Abraham made a mistake. It was never corrected. In fact, Ishmael carried the blessing of God. And we have that battle up to now. Hamas, Israel, all that is happening is because of the impatience of Abraham. He had a son, but he left us with problem. I pray for you. I want you to put your hand on your heart and pray for yourself in 1 minute. That you be patient. You be patient. Pray. That self-control will be your portion. Self-control will be your portion. Zagado zebranga da barabo shana da baya. Zegala la la ba shapa la 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 ba shenda la ba bayas. La ba ga da ba 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 shaba la da ba 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 ya kata. Le brande ma kashante mele me kabala da baya. La ba kato la ma kabaya nda la ba ba ye kabalo daya. Ikama la na ma zaga da ba ya kata. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for everyone listening to me in person and online. I pray that, Lord, the Spirit of God in us, the Holy Spirit, will help us to cultivate the spirit of patience in the name of Jesus. That we will wait. We will understand people. We will be men and women of understanding in the name of Jesus. We will understand the times and the seasons, like the sons of Issachar. We will understand it. We will understand why we go through some of the things we are going through. We will understand why we were born into such families. We will understand why we are part of Charis Temple at this time. We will understand why we must commit to the full course of the Lord Jesus Christ in this house. We will understand why we should commit to life. We understand why we must understand people in their weakness, in their mistakes. Thank you, Holy Spirit. As we continue to learn from next week or going, we build up wisdom to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a clap offering. So, next week, I'll continue with the second one. And the second one is that acquire a sense of humor. What you can laugh at, you can live with. So I'm whetting your appetite for next week. Acquire a sense of humor. Learn to laugh at bad situations. Just sit down and laugh. The Lord God sits in heaven and laughs at his enemies. So learn to laugh. Don't take everything serious. I'll give you some statistics. Next week, those of you take everything serious, you will die before your time. So learn to laugh at everything. I mean, things that are just, I'll show you that God is a God of humor. Amen. Give the Lord another clap of him.
The message you just listened to is from ICGC Charis Temple. To connect with us, you can like our page on Facebook at ICGC Charis Temple or follow us on Instagram and Twitter at ICGC Charis. We would like to hear of how God is blessing you through this podcast. To support this podcast, please click on the profile button and click on support. Thank you, and God richly bless you.